Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I don't know how Quaid plugged my headphones in with a giant knot, but I can't get my headphones on because of the giant knot. I don't know. There. Oh, Quaid. I need to retrain that boy. Bruce Guthrie's here, and you've got exciting news to share today from the Quincy Area Chamber of Commerce, Gretif, and the district. Now, sometimes we do struggle trying to discern who's who and what does what. This won't help matters, I'll tell you that, but I know overall it's a generally good thing. So describe to the WTAD audience what has happened, was just announced this morning.
Well, you know, this is something we've been working on for several years, Mary, getting our three organizations together and continually working on creating opportunities that we could do initiatives together. We are very similar in our missions, which is, you know, a lot of it is derived around businesses in this community. You know, Gretif is part of retaining businesses. It's part of workforce development. We are really into training, giving resources to businesses, and of course the district is downtown, and they're driving awareness to downtown and all the downtown businesses and for people to come down to downtown. So we've been working together in the last couple of years since I started with the chamber, and Kyle Moore with Gretif, and now Brianna Rivera with the district. And we wanted to, and all of our boards said we need to come together and do more together. And also looking ahead strategically, what is being more efficient also, not only from what our missions are and what we do, but also how we operate financially.
Well, yeah, because now you can have, you know, you can maybe share a copier, or and you're sharing office space. You're still three separate units, though.
Three separate units, still the same boards. We signed a purchase agreement last week with the 501 Hampshire, which is on the corner of the buildings on the corner of Hampshire and Fifth Street. It's a WGEM building. I think everybody remembers it at. But you know, I've had some people say, "Was WGEM going away, or what's going on?" Well, no, they're just that building. Was a headquarters.
That was a headquarters when it was owned by the Oakley family, and the Oakley family had several television stations around the United States. So that was their broadcast operations center for all of their things. Well, they sold out to Gray Media, and Gray Media is not. In Quincy. I mean, they have one station here in Quincy, WGEM, but they don't need a big corporate headquarters here. The building was...
They have three or four people that are in there now. The studios that they had in there for television and radio have all been moved over to, what is that, 503?
513.
513, yeah. 503 actually was the old building that was between them. 513. So they were like, hey, and they were looking for someone to be in that building that was a good neighbor, that someone that they also believed heavily in our missions of what these organizations did. The Oakley family always did and were great supporters of all of ours. So, hey, we said... We were looking around. We've been working on this for 2 years, and this presented itself, and we said, hey, we need to do it. We're in the center of Quincy. We're right on the heart of Quincy. We are still serving the community. We're going to be able to collaborate together. We're going to be able to work together much more efficiently. It'll be a collective. It'll be one area for any business to go to get what they need and get their resources. So it's a very exciting time for us. And it's also, we're not moving tomorrow. This one probably won't, you know, we'll probably close at the end of the year and move not until next year, spring or early spring or maybe early as March. It all depends on different things. But this is a great building, great, not only location, but it's in great shape, and it's just really exciting what it's going to be able to do for our organizations in the community.
Okay, well, let's talk about where everybody is right now. The Chamber of Commerce is located where for your office now?
And we're in the Oak-Lindsay Center.
And where is Gretif?
Gretif's in the Oak-Lindsay Center.
Yeah, so you guys are already both in that same building, but the district recently moved. They went to a different location. They're
down here on Hampshire Street.
Yeah, and Hampshire Street, close to 8th.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so this will bring all of those three together. Now, you're still three independent agencies. You have three different missions. You like to collaborate, and you've been doing that great. I mean, it's been more of a collaboration than I've ever seen in my time here in Quincy. So will there be an economy of scale? Will you share some things? Like, will you share a copier? Will you share, will you have a unified phone system where people can transfer from one agency to the other?
Those are all ongoing discussions. Yes, we want to get to where we can unify. We're talking about phone system right now. We're talking about how we do our copiers, because we all have different agreements or how we do our operations.
You don't get out of those just overnight.
No, and it's going to be a process as we get along, and also like accounting, how we do that together. It's a process that we're gonna we're taking it one step at a time. We have representatives from each one of the boards have been meeting monthly for over 2 years, and to do this is not an easy process. And we've talked to other communities have done this, and more communities are doing it. And one thing I wanted to bring up, Mary, and you talk about the OLC, and I had some people ask me, well, did you want to get out of the OLC? No, I want to tell you, I want to speak highly of how we've been. Since I've been in that building, Chris Landwehr and that staff are tremendous. That is a wonderful building. I want to tell you, they do a great job operationally, you know, cleaning. It's, you know, we come in and sit down, and that's what we do and do our work. They're wonderful to work with. We've had great relationship with them. We've been talking to them about this. So, they've got different plans they want to do for the future. So we're gonna be looking at this, and it's going to evolve in the future on how it evolves on what we can do together, what kind of spaces we can have over there for, you know, for community events or meetings, et cetera. We're working through that. There's some renovations that we're looking at. So, but we wanted to get this out to the community and let them know what's happening, because this is going to be a process, and hopefully we can get everything worked out in 2025, we'll have this new location.
Yeah, because OLC did provide you with a lot of conference space and extra space,
yes,
that, you know, you could use. So you'll have to develop that either at your 5th and Hampshire location, or you'll have to continue to use some other space. But now, are you going to take both the you're taking the whole building there at 5th?
Yeah, it's
and the
whole building. It's two-story. It's quite a building. It is.
Yeah.
It is a big building. We are taking all of it. It has plenty of room. We are looking at the possibility of another tenant in that building. There is space for that. We're still working through on where everybody's going to be and how that's going to work. And
I can see you're going to draw straws for who gets the big office.
Because
Kyle Moore can be a little pushy.
Yes, he can. He's very difficult to work with.
I'm just going to say, you know, he'll want the big office with the corner window.
Well, you'll see, you know, what our tentative plans are for an entrance is going to change over there, because there's really only two entrances, which are on the east side, and we want to get it more centralized. So you'll see some things that we're working on there, and how we're going to do some, you know, meeting spaces. You're exactly right. Oakland Lindsay Center is incredible for our meeting spaces.
For meeting space, it is.
Board meetings. We all got board meetings. We all got, you know, committee meetings, et cetera. Webinars, seminars, but we're working through that, and that's it's a pro. Where we, you know, Mary, where are we doing with the garbage? Where are we putting trash at? I mean, these are things that we now have to do because we're going to own a building. You know, we're forming an LLC, but those are the things as you own a building you have to take care of.
Okay, it's a big move. It's they've been working on it a long time, and they think it's a positive move, and. Certainly, we don't want to see an empty building on the corner of 5th and Hampshire, so that's great. And if you're looking for space, the Oakley Lindsay Center will have some open here within the next year. So, the rising tide, I guess, lifts all boats. I can't find the notes that you sent me, but I'm sure you have your notes. I know tomorrow's the Ladies Chamber golf outing.
Yes, it is.
Golf
outing tomorrow out of Westview. We're so excited. The ladies in the office have
Craig
been
Hemming has
getting stuff
said
ready.
He's
yes.
got his Amaretto Stone Sour mixture ready to go. There on whatever hole he's on.
There's all sorts of fun things, because you know every hole we have we call pampering, and these sponsors come up with some great ideas and great things to do. I've been hearing some fun things that people are gonna do, but it's also an 80s theme, so the ladies are all dressing and they're gonna decorate their
golf carts.
The golf carts. The folks at Golden Bridges who do incredible. They always love this. They've already got some big plans, so it's really a fun day because it's. I don't want to say not competitive. It's competitive, but it's not. They have a great time, and it's
well.
Really
a lot
enjoyable.
Of people play in this tournament that can't really play golf very well.
Well, you
but
know,
it,
you, just,
you know that's okay because that, that's okay. Not the purpose
they
of it.
They enjoy the pampering and the libations and everything else that go along with it, Mary.
So you get a pedicure like on the back nine, or
you
what?
Never you, know, know.
You never know what's going to happen. Okay, I know you've got lots of things on your agenda today. I don't happen
well,
to
well,
remember what they are because
well, you know,
I know I printed that email and one of my evil coworkers scooped it up in their mess.
Well,
of stuff.
I know we can talk about chamber events that are coming up. We do have a business after hours
because we will not be here in July.
Coming up,
you know.
Yeah, that's right. And Scotty. At the end of the month, we have a
Scotty's Fun Spot.
Scotty's Fun Spot, and then we also have on June 25th we have our last seminar, training seminar that's on artificial intelligence, AI, and we all know that's exploding. We have a great presenter, so you know, go online to register for that. So we got a lot of activities, and we got a lot of things going during the summer and the fall. We'll be talking about more golf tournaments and more events.
Okay, I know that AI thing is really critical. And I don't think you can ever be educated enough, because once you give this seminar here in June, probably by December, there'll be all kinds of new things that have come out. And so really businesses, and I like that the Chamber and Grediff and the district are really working together to say, what do you need? What do you need, business leaders, to make your life a little bit easier, to make you more profitable, to make it easier to do business in Quincy? And things like this artificial intelligence seminar, because people are afraid a little bit of AI, because there are some scary things that can be done. And so you kind of have to know how you're going to use AI for good in your business, rather than let AI be used against you almost. I mean,
there's some real simple things you can use the AI. I was just at a seminar yesterday talking about it again. Is it exactly what you're saying? A lot of people are afraid of it, and I get it. But you can go into ChatGPT, which is free access, and you can help you on writing news releases, writing proposals. It'll help you. I know for me, sometimes I get a writer's block or whatever you want to call it from a creativity. It'll give you opportunities to look at, because it's
plagiarized.
Well, and no, that is a part of it, and it's a scary part of it. Mary, you're right. But you take it and you get ideas, and you can take it and helps you move forward. Yes, there is that concern. I know schools and education are really
right.
Into
it's different. I mean, Bruce using it to kickstart a creative idea, plagiarizing or stealing an idea is different than Bruce writing his doctoral dissertation.
Exactly.
So again,
exactly.
AI, the same technology can be used for good or bad. It's just what you use it for. The one thing AI can't do, you can send me all the press releases you want, but if I don't print them off and have them in front of me, Bruce,
then
you still have
good
to.
For you.
You still. I have no intelligence is my problem. See, so I need artificial intelligence.
You need that, but it's a very important part. And
I applaud you for doing
it. We're excited about it. I think we're going to do more. We're developing right now, and we'll be announcing soon our fall series of training.
Good.
And it's going to be really interesting again. And we're going to have a member connect coming in, I think, in July, where we invite all of our members in and have discussions and help on different things. We are, again, I tell everybody, we're here to help you. We're here to help your business be successful. We'll listen. We'll get you the right. Somebody on some of the chambers said they called that we'd like to be the chamber doctors. I don't know if I'm a doctor, but I'm able to help you at least get to where you need to go. I might have the answer, but you can call X. You can help, because there's so many members that'll help you. We got so many great members. So many people in this city. I'm always amazed why people are afraid to call. I mean, we have some great restaurant owners that help other restaurant owners.
Yeah.
We have some great salon, whatever you want to call it, boutiques, that'll help other people. Because we know, as you just said a while ago, you raise the whole area up when you're successful. And we're seeing right now, Mary,
Let's talk about growth, because that was one of the things you wanted to talk about. Cane's Chicken is going to be opening soon.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, I talk to people.
And now Dieter's Frozen Custard is coming back.
Oh, my gosh.
At 12th in Hampshire.
I talk to people around the country and around the state. They can't believe what's happening in Quincy. I don't think Quincy people, sometimes we don't look at it. We are doing so many things, from the big new development out of 54th that's coming, all of Tom Marks, the old Sears building. We got the Tire Plaza that's going, the big new Tire Plaza on Broadway. Oh, the 30th and Broadway, both sides of the street, what's happening there. Cane's, the Hula Bowl. Then we're talking about United Alloy coming here, building a $200 million manufacturing plant.
How much that's going to cost?
I think it's in that range.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have any idea, because the cost of everything has gone up so much. You would think years ago, as a news reporter, I would never say a building was going to cost $200 million. But now, heck, I mean, everything's
crazy. They wanted to come to Quincy, Mary. They wanted to come to Quincy.
And that's the thing that's amazing, because again, we always hear how Illinois is bad for business. And I'm not going to argue that. Mm-hmm. That compared to Missouri and Iowa, we are. And
very
yet, ironically, Tire Plaza isn't building in West Quincy.
No.
Ironically, Hula Bowl's not over there. Ironically, Cane's Chicken isn't over there.
They're seeing what's happening. I talk to these businesses. They're seeing what's happening in Quincy. They're seeing the development. And you know what else they're seeing? They're seeing the commitment from the community to make it better. They're seeing what hopefully our organizations are doing, what Grediff and the Chamber are doing, what City Hall's doing on creating plans and programs that help support them. by doing TIFs, by doing you know, the food and beverage tax, and getting helping you folks. We're in a world where we have to recruit. Don't tell me every community's doing it, and all and some communities are doing much more money than we are. I get that concern from people, and I go, we can't just sit back. Why, you know, we do have to go after these people. We do have to create public-private partnerships. That's what makes things successful. Yes, we do have some challenges here, and we know that. We got to fix the streets. I get it. I want that too. But we have a lot of wonderful. We even talked about downtown. Look what's happening on 6th Street. The Illinois State Bank building now is back. Came back to life. You know, I was talking to Ryan Tanner yesterday. They got the Illinois tax credit, mm-hmm. And they've got a new architect and stuff. And now they're working with the city on a new plan, and that's going to get started as soon as possible and get this done with the city. They're going to go.
And Tanner, I mean, there again, Tanninger Corporation, Ryan Tanner and his partner. One of the things they did, the old Elks Lodge. Yes. Well, the patio is whatever that's called.
Yeah,
that could have just been sitting empty. The Hotel Elkton, you know, that could just be sitting empty. There could be no restaurant there. The apartments could have fallen into disarray. I mean, people are investing in this community. And, you know, so, yes, we have some struggles. We have some problems, not of Quincy's own making. We have some issues. But, you know, let's celebrate the good and hope that it trickles down. My only fear is every time something new opens, does something old close?
Well, you know, it's part of competition. You know, that's part of the way we do things. I think it can only support. Yes, there's always situations. Can we support? You know, that whole new program or development out there at 54th Street is like four or five restaurants probably in a huge convenience store, gas station type thing. And, yes, I mean, I drive down Broadway and every dang restaurant's full. I get it. And we just can't sit back. We can't sit back and just wait. Or we also need more people to come here. And I think all of these developments are going to have more people to come to see Quincy and want to live here and work here. We need to expand that. We need to expand that tax base. We need to get more people to come here and work and live. We need more homes. We know we need more rental units, all those things. But I'll tell you, I don't see this much development around the state or especially towns of our size in our community. We're very unique. We're not even talking about the medical community, great manufacturing that we have here, and the development of this little waterway that we have going by here.
That little bitty thing called the Mississippi River, that so trickle? Yeah.
I'm very excited about the future. I'm very positive. The chamber is positive. That's the way I think. That's the way I have to roll, is being positive and doing positive advocacy. Without, yes, I'm not going to let you know, the challenge that we have go by. But as we work together, and I see when we collaborate, Mary, I see that word, and you see it happen. When things work together, boy, you can get a lot done. Look what happened on 6th Street. That all happened because of those owners down there on that street. And their investment, which people forget, millions of dollars on that street, mm-hmm. and what's happening there. So we got a lot of great things going, and I'm excited for the future. There's many things that are being discussed for the future as we continue to look at how we push forward and address those challenges that we have.
Okay, Bruce Guthrie, Chamber of Commerce. Final word: don't let Kyle and Brianna push you around. Now you get that corner office.
Thank you, Mary.
You get that corner office,
so
boy. You deserve it. You deserve that corner office in that new space. I'll go to bat for you. Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, Bruce Guthrie, folks. Again, anytime you are feeling kind of negative or down about our town, just go to the website and look and see what's going on. And if you're not taking part in it, don't blame anybody but yourself. That's right. Okay. I don't know if I'm looking forward to Cane's Fried Chicken or not.
They're great.
Are they really?
Yeah, because I was down in Texas.
They yeah, I know. They're everywhere.
They're chicken. That's all. They're delicious.
Okay.
Delicious. It's great.
I think I had one time that wasn't very good, but I'll
really?
Try
well,
it. Yeah.
Try it again.
Okay. Well, I will.
Chicken fries and coleslaw, and that's what they have.
Oh, I love coleslaw.
And they're great. It's really wonderful.
Is it better than Long John Silver's coleslaw?
Yes.
That's a statement.
Wow, yeah. I think I'm a little partial. I was down in Texas many years. I visited many times.
Hey, now you weren't with the Mavs, though. You were with the other team.
I was with San Antonio Spurs.
San Antonio Spurs.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you real quick. You're past your time. We're charging you extra for this. Why can't we get a Long John Silver's here? Why do I have to go to Hannibal to eat their coleslaw?
So you think because I was with the Spurs, I can get a Long John Silver's?
Well, it doesn't make much sense. But, you know, we're trying to try Kane's fried chicken, you know, and his love for Texas Southern fried chicken.
We need a long job. I don't, you know, well, who knows? Maybe that's what's going to come out of the new development.
Well, I tell you what. Tell Kane's, because I know you're just in touch with them all the time, tell them that I want a sample of coleslaw delivered here to WT80 Radio.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm going to try it right here, and I will make them or break them. How's that?
You got it.
Okay. I have spoken. He gets the corner office, and I get the coleslaw. And that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
What a trade-off. 9:39, we're heading up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Award Camp Machine Company brings you this report. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. John Gephardt, longtime guest of the Mary Griffith Show, is here. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
So glad to see you again. And brand new to our microphones is Katie Roskamp Ellerbrock, who's the brand new director of the Quincy Museum at 16th and Main. That used to be the convent when I was in high school. So I've had many a dinner there at that dinner table there when the nuns were in charge of that big, beautiful building. And I walked in all the time and said, tell me more about this vow of poverty. You're living in one of the biggest houses in Quincy. But we're going to talk today about a joint effort, the 56th Annual Mississippi Valley Historic Auto Club Car Show. And if you know John and you see him driving around town, you know he has a collection of cars that people like to look at, and he likes to show off. And it's going to be on the grounds of the Quincy Museum, and it's on Sunday. Used to be on Father's Day, but you've moved it up a week.
Yeah, and the reason we moved it is because the fathers that helped support the organization, et cetera, said, hey, we'd like to have that day off.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd like to not be showing our cars that day. We'd like to be riding around in our cars with our kids that day. So it's going to be this Sunday, and it's going to be from 11:30 to 3 on the grounds of the Quincy Museum. And so you'll be parked, the cars will be parked. How many vehicles and what kind of vehicles are coming?
Well, last year we had 41. It varies from year to year. What's neat about this particular car show is that you're parking these cars next to this beautiful old building. And so you have that as a backdrop. And so it's kind of neat to see the cars that were built, you know, during that era sitting around that building.
You can see those cars going through that carport, which still exists on the side where the carriage was for the horse to drop you off.
Right.
So, you know, it is amazing that building at 16th and Main is one of our most historically significant and a perfect venue to show off old-timey stuff.
Yeah, and years ago, I used to be involved with a museum in Sioux City, Iowa. And we did a similar kind of thing, and it was kind of neat to see those old cars sitting around that. In that case, it was an old house.
Mm-hmm. So it's just one more calling card. It's antique auto. I just got rid of my car in January. It was 25 years old. Was it officially an antique at that point in time, John? Did I dump it too soon?
No, it was officially an antique
by
that time.
You know, unfortunately, the left wheel fell off, so I had to get another car. But mine was in horrible shape. It would definitely need restoration. But isn't that funny that I'm driving around, and you know, until January, and basically an antique car? I didn't think much about it, but someday, you know, a 1999. That's what my car was, a 1999 Toyota Camry. Somebody will restore that. It'll be the car of their youth or something like that. Is that what most of the people do, have a car from their youth or a car they remember?
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of these collectors are people that collected a car of the era that they were familiar with. And usually a lot of times it was when they went to school, high school or whatever. And so a lot of times that's what they're buying back their youth, so to speak.
if they didn't keep it, they have to buy it back. What do you personally? What kind of cars do you have, John?
Well, I've kept my cars from when we first started driving. So I've got a 1960 Rambler American. I've got a 1977 Dodge Aries that's in storage, and a 1998 Oldsmobile. And I'm driving a 1996 Ford Escort, and I'm going to drive it until it drops.
Well, I should have denied the trade-in, which wasn't much, and I should have given you my 99 Toyota Camry, and someday you and your buddies could have restored it to its beautiful splendor. Well, this is going to be on the grounds of the Quincy Museum at 16th and Main, and what a beautiful, again, setting for that. Admission is absolutely free. Just walk onto the grounds. And Katie Roskamp Ellerbrock, you are brand new to the museum. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
It's so great to have you on. We hope to have you back regularly on the Mary Griffith Show.
Happy to.
That beautiful Quincy Museum has such a multi-focus, and you're going to have half-price admission that day to folks who want to come and look at the cars and maybe they didn't go through. Every floor is a little bit different.
It is.
The first floor, of course, brings you back to the grandeur of what that home was. When it was the Newcomb Stillwell home, when one of the wealthiest families in Quincy lived there. And it really is a walk back in the past when you just walk in the house. It's architecturally very significant and still to that period.
Yes, absolutely. Everything has been beautifully restored to be period appropriate of the 1890s. And what's really nice is that the original crew, the original board, when they put that first floor together, even the furniture matches. And so when you walk into that beautiful first floor through those giant doors, it really is a step in the past. And I welcome everybody to come enjoy it.
Yeah, it is great. And like I said, I spent many a happy a day in my teenage years there. And before that, it was a dorm for Quincy University. And my mother remembers going there. She didn't live there, but she remembers going there when it was a girls' dorm. The great thing about it is, obviously, the Newcomb family lived in very high style, and that is definitely told on the first floor. The one kitchen addition is kind of newer. That's kind of a newer, it's not to the period of the 1880s, 1920s. It's a little bit newer than that, but, you know, it shows that the family lived and evolved, as kitchen things do evolve from that technology. But then when you go upstairs, you know, instead of just keeping it as, oh, let's just recreate the bedrooms or let's just recreate this, then it would be, you know, nice. But you've actually, the Quincy Museum has used that space to draw even more people in with rotating and permanent exhibits. So what do we see when we walk up that gorgeous grand staircase?
Well, I'm not going to give away too many secrets, just because I want everybody to be able to come in and enjoy and discover what we have to offer. But one of the big collaborations that Nancy and Barbara had put together prior to my arrival is a collaboration with the arts associations in Quincy. So as you venture through that second floor, you can see kind of the history of the arts through Quincy and kind of see the different collaborations that they've put together.
And I know that years past they've had a radio exhibit up there with Olin Schuller's radios. And then there is also a place for children. Now, we do have a Quincy Children's Museum, but the Quincy Museum at 16th and Main was the first to really provide an area for children to come.
Right. So this... Our third floor is education-based, right? There are different exhibits for children that have a natural history vibe. So as the Children's Museum is very focused on structured play, which is awesome for our community, we take a different approach, and we have just a little bit different educational perspective through, like I said, the natural history perspective.
So they might see a dinosaur, and
they might see how
Native Americans lived in our area.
Yes.
And so it's beautiful. The upkeep of a home like that, because, I mean, yes, it's a museum, but it's still structured as a home.
It is.
It's got to have a roof, and it's got to have windows and everything. How are you funded?
Good question.
Or you didn't ask that question when you took the job, and now you're finding out. We're not funded. It's my job. So, you know, how do you keep the lights on there?
Just like any other non-for-profit organizations in town, it's very grant-based, very, very donor-based. We're very fortunate to, you know, have a lot of support in the community, which has made us able to keep the building upkeep over the years.
Yeah.
Upkept, I should say.
And it has to be kept up because,
yeah,
like we've seen with the Washington Theater downtown, they're renovating that now. And, of course, most of the cost is repairing damage that was done during neglect. You know, if the roof leaks, you've got a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that, you know, keeping up a home like that is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day maintenance problem. But you do charge admission to the museum. How else are you funded? Just by private donations, or do you get grant money? Or
grant money, you know, we do have some fund drives that come up. Of course, we have the programming as well. So, you know, as, you know, schools come in and have field trips, that's a piece of it, too. And it's not just one thing.
I know that Arts Quincy paid for every kid and every family in Adams County could come to the Quincy Museum. I think every child got some kind of pass for the family to come. I don't think they all did, and I don't know if you could have handled it if they did. But
yeah, there were specific criteria around that, and I know Laura and I have talked about it. But
it was before your time.
Yeah, it was before my time. But I
mean,
don't remember
really,
all the exact
But I mean,
details.
Thousands of people, you know, were exposed, you know, to the Quincy Museum because of that. So, you know, Arts Quincy is very much into funding experiences for kids. So,
yeah, and that's awesome.
Yeah,
I really enjoy that collaboration.
And you do have classes for children in the summer, and you do all those things that you've traditionally done.
Mm-hmm,
okay,
absolutely.
That is fantastic. Back to John Gephardt. I mean, this is a great partnership because, like you said, parking those cars there, you know, in front of that museum gives people a chance to remember what it looked like when cars that time frame were parked in that museum.
Right.
Is it too late to enter your car in this show for Sunday?
No, you can enter the day of.
Okay.
And that's the neat thing about a car show is typically you never know who's going to show up. And so basically you can register the day of, and we've set it up that way so that people could do that. Sometimes weather will be a factor. In this case, it looks like we're going to have a good weather day, so that's a great benefit of it. And by the way, I'm also a member of the Quincy Museum, so it was a great collaboration, when they offered this. I approached them and said, would you be interested in having it? And they said, yeah. And so we've worked that out, and over the years, we did our 50th there, and they keep asking us to come back.
So. Well, that is fantastic. And now it's the 56th annual Mississippi Valley Historic Auto Club Car Show. Stroll the grounds of the Quincy Museum at 1601 Main and come see all of the cars. What do you think? I mean, I know you can't tell because you don't know, but what do you project will be some of the more unusual cars that will be on the grounds that day?
Well, typically we have cars dating back to the 1920s, and then we have newer cars.
It has to be 25 years old, though, right, to be antique, right?
Generally, but for a car show, we don't...
Your rules are laxer for a car show.
We relax the rules a little bit. Now, the one rule we do have is that members don't participate in the car show. So consequently, even if
you
bunch of old cars, I can't put them. I can't win.
You can't win, but you can display them.
Oh, I can display
them.
Yeah,
but you can't win. So it's out of towners and members not of the club that can win. So okay, well that's good. I mean, you know, you wouldn't want to, you know, that'd be cheating.
Yeah, and we still give out trophies. We're one of the clubs that we give out the top 20 receive a trophy. We do it that way, and of course, then we also have a People's Choice Award at the Quincy Museum Awards.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, half price admission at the museum.
That's right.
So bring the family and bring the kids. They'll love the kids area up there. Admission to the car show is absolutely free. And if you want more information, go to Antique Auto Museum on Facebook. And their membership is open to anybody. If you're interested in historic cars, they meet the first Monday of every month at the Coach House Restaurant, 6:15 p.m. on Broadway. And so if you're a car enthusiast, John Gephardt and the rest of the gang want to see you there. And thank you, Katie, for coming by. It's so delightful. And we look forward, when you get your feet kind of grounded, on talking to you more about what's happening at the Quincy Museum. Thank you both.
Thank you.